Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host, and it is my privilege and pleasure to be back amongst my listening audience once again as we gather into the presence of God for the study of His holy word. Amen. But as always, let us approach the throne of grace. Father God, we thank you once again for allowing this privilege to transpire, that we might come into your presence for the study of your word. We pray now, Father, that blessings upon all the listeners. Father, bless your man of God that he might be able to teach your word unadulterated, Father, true upon truth, precept upon precept. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, for those who are tuning in, we're in a study of the book of Acts, and last week we were talking about Saul's calling, amen, in chapter 9 of the book of Acts. And we left off about the 6th verse, and we're going to pick it up in verse 7, but let me just kind of recap on what happened. We know that Saul was out to persecute the church. He thought that this ragtag group of people were the enemy of God, and they were purporting and these strange doctrines that went against Judaism, and he saw fit that he was going to cancel these events. So he got permission from the rulers of the Jewish synagogues to go out and hunt these people down that practiced the way. But along his journey to Damascus, Paul did not realize that God had appointed a divine appointment with him, and Jesus showed up in the form of a bright light. Saul, being knocked to the ground and blinded by this light, now had a direct encounter with the living God. Let's pick it up in verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. Now, Paul has been blinded by this light. And in these 3 days, we can understand that Saul, I keep saying Paul, but he's not Paul yet, he's still Saul. Saul now is perplexed by this event. He has met the true and the living God. The man that he has tried to persecute, this man called Jesus, now Paul has 3 days that he can no longer depend on himself. He has to depend on others. And we see that Saul comes into total surrender. And you know, my brothers and sisters, that's one of the things that we need to consider as we teach and preach the Word of God. We need to make sure that people come to total surrender in God. Amen. Paul was trembling and in utter shock. He was astonished. He was devastated, hardly able to bear up under the weight of the sin for which he was now being charged. Because Jesus said, Paul, Paul, why persecuteth thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And when he was saying that, he was saying the pricks is like when you herded cattle and you prodded them to go in a direction. God has a direction for his church, for his servants of the church. And when we try to go in a different direction other than what God would have us to go, it is hard to kick against the prick. So let's read on. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in the vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So now we see Paul's in total obedience. He's sitting still. He's waiting on God. God gives Paul a vision because Paul now is deep in prayer. And many times when you or I get perplexed about the things of life, that is the one thing we ought to learn from Saul, is just to go deep in prayer. Because many times things happen to us in our lifetime that seem overwhelming, that are overwhelming, that perplex us, and we can't understand why these things are happening. But God has a divine design for our lives. And even when you and I make bad choices, God comes in and uses those bad choices to strengthen our faith in him. So there is nothing that we do that God can't use when we surrender ourselves to him. So we see that Paul, formerly Saul, was a Jewish rabbi trained by the greatest of the teachers of the known world at the time, was set out to perform the duties which he thought his religion directed him, and that was to stamp out Christianity. But yet and still, God allowed Saul to do this for a reason, because way back in the 8th chapter, it talked about the church had been persecuted and therefore spread, because Jesus said in the 1st chapter, he said, "Ye shall be my witnesses unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The church got complacent and sat still in Jerusalem, feeling and realizing and recognizing that, hey, this is a good place to be and everything's going fine. Why should we move? But God wanted his word to be spread throughout the known world. So therefore, sometimes when persecution comes, God allows it. He's not the author of a persecution, but God allows it because he can use it to direct our paths. I hope you're praying with me this morning. Let us go a little further. Then Ananias answered and said, "I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." So Ananias is saying, "Lord, this is the man that is running around persecuting your church. We've heard much about him. We've heard the destruction he has done on those who have called upon your name. And this is the man that you want me to see." But Ananias was sensitive to God's call. Ananias was willing to face a difficult assignment. And many times God does test us by giving us difficult assignments to see whether we will obey him or not. But the Lord said unto him in verse 15, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him," in verse 16, "how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So we see now that Ananias is getting direct orders from God. He's willing to obey what God has requested of him. He's going to be the answer to Saul's prayer. God told Ananias that Paul had been given a vision. So in other words, there was going to be a clear assurance that when Ananias showed up, that Paul or Saul would recognize him for who he is. God always paves the way for his accomplishments. Verse 17, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." So that was definite confirmation to Paul, or Saul, I should say. I always get those two names interchanged. But that was definite confirmation, because Ananias told him exactly what had happened. Now, Ananias and Saul had not met prior to this, but Paul was given a vision that this man was going to come see him. And the Lord told Ananias exactly what Paul went through. So when they gathered together and came into contact with one another, it was no great surprise. All it was confirmation of what Saul had been through. And verse 18 says, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." So now Paul was being baptized into the body of Christ. Now we know that baptism doesn't save, but baptism is a way of recognizing and publicly announcing that you align yourselves with the belief that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So therefore, Paul, now who persecuted the church, Saul, I should say again, who persecuted the church, is now being baptized into the very body that he was out to set out to destroy. So you can see that there was an ultimate change in the heart of Saul. Verse 19, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus." So now Paul, for 3 days and three nights, had not eaten or drank anything. And yet we see he's gotten into a weakened condition. But once he received the truth, once he received the understanding that Jesus is the Lord and the Messiah and the Son of God, after that was fixed in his mind, then he began to eat and strengthen himself. And it says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. You know, when you have a divine meeting like that, when you understand the truth, when the truth has set you free, there is no reason that you should not immediately begin to tell somebody else about the goodness of our God. So therefore, Paul began to preach in the synagogues and said immediately, he didn't have to think about it. He had it fixed in his mind that Jesus was the Messiah and he is the Son of God. But, you know, as we go a little further, we're going to find that every new convert needs to know that he or she is a chosen vessel, instrument of God. Because one of the things that you and I must practice all the time is wherever we go, whatever we do, we ought to be on call to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to realize and recognize that we are called upon to give an account of who we are in Christ. If we really truly love God, if we are so much in love with God, why won't we tell everybody we come in contact with the goodness of our Savior? We ought to be able to just burst out in praise and thanks for all that he has done for us. We ought to be able to be willing to share our personal testimony. If God has brought you through something, you ought to be able to tell somebody what he's brought you through. People don't realize the reality of God until they see changes in our lives. If we walk around and are mean-spirited and hard-hearted and we say we are a child of God, well, that's the impression that people will have of God, that he's mean-spirited and hard-hearted. And why should I give up the ways of the world? I want to be able to walk like Jesus walked, that when people come in contact with me, they realize that God is real because they see the change in me. It's an inside job. We have to be changed from the inside out. We cannot go forward in our own strength. We must be changed from the inside by the power of His Spirit. And that's why we have the indwelling of the Spirit to bring us through. Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's almost time for me to wind this program down, but I would encourage you once again to please check us out on the web at www.smbcmesa.org or call the church at 480-844-2687. We'd love to have you stop by, worship with us, Bible study on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, Sunday school on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, worship service at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. Take care and God bless. See you next week.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.